The first reading is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 1, page 886 in the Bible, in the pew. Daniel, chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisers, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisers, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all these provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the burning furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, and all the peoples and the nations of the men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and announced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who have set upon the affairs of province in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they pay no attention to you. O king, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, and hall and harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue from my hand?" This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading continues at verse 16, still in chapter 3, still on page 886. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of God's." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded round them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is the word of the Lord.
Lovely to be with you this morning, a celebration of Holy Communion. We've not had a gospel reading. Thank you for sitting for both readings. It's just worth noting in passing that this wonderful story in Daniel chapter 3 is being reflected upon across the whole parish today in a very beautiful way. It's uniting our worship together in four different places. I was just prompted as these wonderful names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being said. Well done for pronouncing them so beautifully, that I've got a record at home with a wonderfully gravelly voice that only Louis Armstrong can do of him singing that beautiful number. It's great. I must dig it out when I get home. For now, I'm afraid it's the vicar's voice you're going to be listening to for a few moments. But indeed, let's pray that it might be Christ's voice speaking to us in our hearts and minds. We pray together. Father, thank you for these written words in the story of Holy Scripture. We pray by your goodness and mercy you would cause them to be living words in our hearts and lives, and truly allow us to meet with you, our risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves us, who died and rose again for each of us. In his dear name we pray. Amen. Three pictures, three really quite simple pictures, but with a very, very profound conclusion as we reflect on them together. The first picture is there in verse 18. It's a picture of faith. The three pictures, a picture of faith, a picture of life, and a picture of healing. First of all, then, in verse 18, a picture of faith. And so in quite robust mood, Daniel, the spokesman for the three friends, says to the king, looking him in the eye, "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We are going to trust God. Even if you throw us into this furnace and we're consumed, we're still going to trust God. Even if he doesn't save us, we're going to trust you." To many people, faith can seem stupid, can seem futile, and not worth doing. This wonderful picture of faith here is a picture just of that, proving, if you will, from these four heroes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that actually faith is not a blind leap in the dark, while I'll just blindly trust. It's one small step into the light. And for these three friends being pushed into a fiery furnace, it was one step away from potential oblivion. But it wasn't a reckless, "Well, I don't care," or "I'm just going to trust and hope it works out all right." Actually, it was a step into the light, because they knew the light of Christ was there, that God was going to save them, even if they were consumed. It's a wonderful picture of wholehearted trust, which is faith. It asks of us, not are we going to be forced into a furnace and faced with burning, but it asks us, have we got faith and trust in God? A sure-footed faith. The next picture, and perhaps I'm asking you to reflect with me, is this right or not? This is just how I see this. This is perhaps a picture of life. First of all, a picture of faith. We're going to trust. Secondly, a picture of life, there in verse 25. He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God's." Of course, we can almost work out, without someone telling us, without reading lots of books, that this fourth person standing there is Jesus Christ. They weren't consumed. God saved them. They're there. He's there with him. Why a picture of life? Surely a picture of faith is that you trust God. But with the perspective of faith, a picture of life is that we walk through, as it were, the fiery furnace of life with someone else with us. Perhaps this is the picture I'm asking you to explore. Is this correct or not? It's worth reflecting on. Is the whole of life a trial? Is the whole of life a fiery furnace? I suppose you could say, no, life's there to be enjoyed. It's actually a playground. I'm not wanting to be pessimistic or gloomy. But isn't there something in Scripture which says that life here and now is a preparation for life that's truly life beyond? Of course, we all have trials, and it's not that the whole of life is rubbish or uphill or a fiery furnace, but there is a sense in which life is hard. From God's perspective, and I think we should see this, that actually life is a preparation for life that is beyond. But there is someone who's with us, and this we can be more sure of. It's that Jesus Christ is there. If you want the fancy language, it's the omnipresence of God. We can be on our own without our loved ones. We can be on our own without our children. We can be on our own without our friends. But you can never, ever, ever be on your own without God. The Bible says he's there. Sometimes the eyes of faith are shut to realize that. And we need to have the eyes of faith open to realize that he's there. A picture of faith, they trusted him. A picture of life, it is hard. That's life. But someone is there with you. And then the third picture I want to draw your attention to is there in verse 27, a picture of healing. But again, I invite you to explore, is this the best description? Perhaps it should be salvation. Perhaps it should be redemption. I'd like to say a picture of healing. It's there in verse 27. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and the royal advisors crowded round them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was there a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was not even a smell of fire or burning on them. No residue of the trial that they'd been through. The fire hadn't consumed them. You couldn't even smell that there'd been a problem. It had all been dealt with. So, when Jesus says, "I forgive sins," he doesn't say, "I'm going to forgive those nine, and actually this one I'm just going to keep a record of, because that really was very naughty." Or the picture of life itself. Actually, when I raise you to life forevermore, I might not do it perfectly. However it is that Jesus is with you in the trial of life, through life, he promises that you won't be harmed. You won't be hurt. There isn't a vestige of anything that's happened to you in life that God can't deal with. Of course, if it's a picture of healing, of salvation, perhaps it's ultimately a picture of heaven. No one that's been through a trial can easily escape the memory of it. And sometimes these things can come back to hurt us or haunt us. But actually, Jesus says there won't even be a smell of burning. What's the difficulty that you're thinking of at the moment that Jesus is wanting to say, that trial you've been through, there won't even be a smell of burning? Perhaps a picture of heaven. But it is a wonderful picture of healing that the Lord himself offers. I want to conclude this brief reflection on Daniel chapter 3 with a prayer. Perhaps a prayer that you could underline as you come forward for communion today, with open hands to receive the bread, with lips waiting to touch, taste the wine. As you receive, so perhaps in our hearts we should say, "I commit myself, I trust myself to this God who's going to be with me in life. He's going to give me this gift of faith, and he'll be there to receive my healing and my salvation. I trust him." He was with these three friends in the fiery furnace. He's with us in life, and he wants to know that we commit ourselves to trust him, that he's there and promised to bring his healing and salvation. Forgive me not wanting to add to the trial, but it seems to me that some people can easily go through the motions in church life, with hymns, with prayers, even with receiving communion, and they don't know that it's actually Jesus right there with them. And he wants to love you, he wants to bless you, he wants to heal you. But what he needs to know you give to him is your trust and your faith, just like these men of heroes of old did. Even if he doesn't rescue us, I'm going to trust him because I know he's going to be there. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen Son of God, I trust you now with my life. Thank you that you're there. Please open the eyes of my heart and be present with me in the trials and tribulations of life. And thank you that having trusted you, you will give to me your healing and salvation and be with me forevermore. Amen.